This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan, in for Baskin today. Real happy to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in a guy who's a columnist for Cleveland.com. He's been there for a little over 2 years now. He worked in Sandusky in the past. He worked in Omaha, Nebraska. He worked in Manhattan, Kansas. He's worked his way back home. He's Jimmy Watkins. Jimmy, good to have you with us.
All right, Jimmy.
What's up, guys? Top of the afternoon to you. How are we feeling?
Manhattan, Kansas, and Omaha, Nebraska. Look at you.
Yeah, I'm the king of the Midwest, I guess.
It's the way to do it. You wrote a story the other day, a couple of days ago, about Myles Garrett and his trade requests, and I thought it was outstanding, as you're really good at what you do. And I love this line, a couple of lines. The football world treats trade requests like trade suggestions. Suggestions go in the suggestion box, and Andrew Berry's suggestion box looks a lot like the trash can at this moment. That nails it, because so many national folks right now are saying, so where's he going to end up? Whatever his new destination's going to be. I don't think he's going to have a new destination, Jimmy, only because extremely punitive. I don't know. You tell me, is he here next year, or is it so punitive, or that the Browns just want him that they're going to say, that's really nice, Miles, show up when it's time to work?
Yeah, I feel like we're like the quietest voices of reason on the planet right now. I think everyone sees trade requests and they think NBA, right? It's like, okay, Jimmy Butler wants to be traded. Where is he going to go? Or Damian Lillard wants to be traded. Not only where is he going to go, but which team is he going to pick, right? We're so, when it comes to transactions, I think we're so basketball-pilled, basketball-minded with that stuff. We forget these are two different sports that operate with two very different sets of rules. And in football, players request trades, but teams look at those trade requests and they go, cool. Well, that's a nice request you have there, but we're going to keep doing what's best for our organization. I mean, in the last couple years, last year alone, the Bengals defensive lineman Hendrickson requested a trade last spring. I think it was April. Told the Bengals, I need a new contract or I need you to trade me. And they said, okay, cool. Nice trade request. Hendrickson played every game for the Bengals last year, actually led the NFL in sacks, had a great year. Hassan Reddick got to the Jets. He said, I want a new long-term contract or I'm going to need you guys to trade me. The Jets said, okay, fine. And then he sat at home for about 6 weeks. The fines started piling up. And Hassan Reddick ended up playing 10 games for the New York Jets last year. Lamar Jackson, we all remember. Lamar Jackson, really ugly. He went public during the owners' meetings. Harbaugh is talking at the owners' meetings. Lamar Jackson is tweeting that morning about his trade request and how he wants more guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson. And what ended up happening, Lamar Jackson is under contract with the Ravens through 2027. Making $50 million less guaranteed dollars per year at Deshaun Watson. It just doesn't work that way in the NFL. And there's nothing about Andrew Berry's situation that suggests he should trade Myles Garrett. Now, whether the Browns should trade Myles Garrett, different conversation. But whether Andrew Berry, who needs to have a good season next year, should trade Myles Garrett, it's a no-brainer.
It always does make me laugh, Jimmy, because I thought the same exact thing when the Myles Garrett thing happened. I was like, well, that's cute. That's nice. I'm glad that, you know, you've decided that you want to get out. The other question, though, comes from the other side of it, which would the Browns benefit from moving on from Myles Garrett and recouping some of those picks that they lost in the Deshaun Watson train wreck?
Yeah, that's the other side of the equation. I think that's the other thing that people are seeing when they talk about this conversation. It's like, well, it makes sense for the Browns to move on from Myles Garrett. They have sort of, their roster's getting older and more expensive, and there's no clear path to contention in the next couple of years, so it would make sense for them to trade him. So yeah, I think that's part of this equation too, and it's like, normally I like to follow the tea leaves and connect dots. The problem here is, the dots and tea leaves don't align the way they usually do, because I'm usually a, you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome kind of thinker. But the Browns' incentives are not aligned with Andrew Berry's incentives. If Andrew Berry took this job today was his first day on the job, he would probably look at this roster and say, yeah, this team needs a reset. So let's see what we can get for some of our veteran stars, and then use the draft picks or young players. You don't see that as much player-for-player trades in the NFL, but draft picks and young players that we get in return for those guys to build the next version of the contending Cleveland Browns. The problem is, the reason Andrew Berry would take a look at the roster and come to that conclusion is because Andrew Berry's been the GM for the last 5 years, and he's obviously made some big swings that didn't connect, and it's put the Browns at a draft pick and salary cap deficit. And so he can't go to ownership and say, hey, yeah, I know I asked you guys to pay for the most expensive roster in NFL history last year, but now I need to blow that roster up. Like, you just can't do that as a football executive. So he's got to make the best of what he's got if he wants to keep his job. And that unfortunately does not include the long-term interests of the Cleveland Browns all the time.
Jimmy Watkins joining us, columnist for Cleveland.com. I'm curious to see where Miles plays next year. If it's anywhere but here, I'll be surprised just because of all the punitive things going on. You wrote a story last week. You're a man after my own heart, how a former enemy of state can save the Browns from quarterback despair. It's about J.J. McCarthy and a trade for J.J. McCarthy of the Vikings. I love the idea. You love the idea. Do you think there's any way that they want to move him? In other words, if they bring back Sam Darnold, do you think they'll move him? I don't know that they will.
Yeah, I don't know. In that story, I try to talk the Vikings into it a little bit, right?
It's, yes, like, you did.
Hey, Sam Darnold just won 14 games. Did you guys see Sam Darnold in the locker room after they beat the Packers in Week 17? Whole team's like hoisting him up. He's a jolly good fellow. Dousing him with water. Kevin O'Connell's watching in the back like a proud dad. Like, you really going to punt on that? Don't watch the other two games he played after that, I guess, would be my last pitch to the Minnesota Vikings. They're in an interesting spot over there. I'm just in the offseason, as we have time before all this quarterback stuff becomes more clear, I'm just trying to milk the content for what it is, frankly. So if there's a quarterback that could potentially become available, I'm going to pitch the Browns. I think they should be willing to take on any ideas that could become available to them, because they have no long-term future at that position right now. The McCarthy thing specifically, it would be hard to see the Vikings being as willing to pay Sam Darnold the money that he might have been in line to make after the last two games that he played. But I think you make the phone call if you don't want a quarterback at two conversation, right? If you don't want a quarterback at two, if you don't think Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders are going to be there because the Titans are going to take one, or you don't like the other guy who's available, you need to get creative here. And I've seen a lot of talk about how J.J. McCarthy would grade pretty well in this draft. I mean, he was the fourth one taken last year, but the NFL.com, you know, draft profile grades, he grades higher than both Shedeur and Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, for what that's worth. I think it's an interest. He's also, I'm fascinated as we go through the quarterback exercise in the draft. We know Kevin Stefanski likes to put his quarterbacks under center. Not a ton of quarterbacks under center these days. J.J. McCarthy was under center quite a bit. at Michigan, so that's a nice feather in his cap as well. I just think that it's a creative avenue that should be explored, particularly because, okay, you might have to trade some draft capital for J.J. McCarthy. Even if it's the second overall pick, you're going to get some stuff back. I don't think number two for J.J. McCarthy works as a one-to-one conversation, so you might get to get a quarterback and then another blue-chip prospect. I'm just throwing ideas at the wall here. I think the Browns are kind of doing the same thing, hoping something sticks.
Well, if you need more of a quarterback list, let me tell you, I sit next to a guy who happens to have one that would rival Auto Trader. I mean, just the...
You need a bad quarterback, Jimmy, I'm your guy.
He's your guy, and he's got about, what, you got about 35 of them we've been doing?
Yeah.
Find us a quarterback? I mean, we've got them for you, so we can send you that list if you need it.
Who's your favorite bad quarterback?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance. Okay, I love that. Perfect. That's a perfect bad quarterback.
Thank you.
Radio fodder.
Thank you.
He hasn't played very much. He's young. He's getting, you know, he's getting his season. Dak Prescott.
He still has upside, Jimmy.
He still does have all the athletic upside that San Francisco saw on him on draft day. Plus, Dak Prescott, between the years, he's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL.
Don't do this to him.
Sing it, Jimmy.
I'm telling you. That's not a bad guy to learn from.
See?
Oh, man. Oh, don't. Now I got to deal with this for another month.
Jimmy Watkins joining us, Cleveland.com. Along with all of his writing, he also is one of the hosts of the Wine and Gold podcast, along with our buddy Chris Fedor and Ethan Sands.
More ammo.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. I would love to see Trey Lance here.
I'm an idea pitcher. I'm arguing in favor of, if we've had so much quarterback negativity, we'll probably have six more months of it next
year,
right? Why not be optimistic in the winter?
Now we're talking.
Why don't you do this?
The Cavs hang on to the number one seed, do they not?
They should. Yeah, I think they're at a really interesting spot where Kenny Atkinson is now openly talking about experimenting during games with different lineups and defenses and kind of using the rest of this regular season as a laboratory for what they might want to deploy during the playoffs. I think that's an interesting idea and more interesting thought to communicate out loud for Kenny. He used the Ty Lue quote the other day of one playoff adjustment a day, essentially during the regular season. Now, I think Ty likes to do those things behind closed doors a little bit, but Kenny's just throwing it out there. I mean, when they played against Anthony Edwards right before the break, I think on consecutive possessions, they went man, zone, box, and one. Kenny's just trying stuff to see if they're going to be able to find something that could work of that ilk during the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, they got about a 4.5-game lead. They're still heavily incentivized to get that one seed. I think home court makes a huge difference in the playoffs, particularly when you're an underdog against a team like Boston. And as good as they've been, we're still talking about guys playing in the low 30s in minutes per game. There's probably a little bit more upward mobility there. And they've talked about how Donovan's been pretty open about he wants to just start ramping up his minutes as we get closer to the playoffs, so he's ready for that level of conditioning. So I see no reason why the Cavs' regular season freight train should stop rolling here.
Do you see any kind of a chemistry hiccup with DeAndre Hunter stepping in instead of Caris LeVert? Because everybody's pointed out that Caris LeVert was relatively close to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I think it helps for DeAndre is the kind of player in general archetype, you know, a two-way wing who can play on or off the ball. He fits in a lot of different settings. He's a guy you can kind of slot on any team, and I think he'll work. He also has, I mean, him and Ty Jerome were college teammates at Virginia, won a national championship. As an Ohio University grad, I'm obligated to point out that the next time Virginia took the court in the NCAA tournament, they lost to the Ohio Bobcats.
Nice job.
Thank you, Jason Preston. You're a legend forever. I don't know where you are in the G League, but I still support you. You're my Trey Lance. But they have that pre-existing relationship. He has relationships with Evan and Darius, and it seems to be this is the whole crux of what the Cavs were looking at the trade deadline, right? That it's so easy to just say, they're rolling, why mess with it? But I think Kobe Altman, he's ready to go for it, man. He's ready to go for it. He looked at this team and said, yeah, we are a really good regular season team, but we have questions about a lot of our rotation guys in the playoffs. Let's go get somebody who we can stamp as 20 to 35 minute per game guy in the playoffs, right? And he went and did that, and then there is some calculated risk that comes with that, with upsetting the apple cart a little bit, but you haven't seen anything yet, and I think in the playoffs he's going to be a major, major piece of the puzzle.
I'm with you, Jimmy, and Jimmy Watkins joining us, Cleveland.com. Of course, you can listen to him on the Wine and Gold Talk podcast as well with our buddy Chris Fedor, our buddy Ethan Sands along the way, talking all sorts of good hoops and that stuff. So I'm with you on that one. The question I have with him, and I partially wonder if his situation had something to do with it, when he was at Virginia, he was a lockdown defender. He was a darn good defender. And when he found his way into the NBA, that's kind of like lacked a little bit to where it was. And I wonder if getting him on this team and getting him in the flow and the general mindset might increase that level of defense, because boy, he seems like he is built to give guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown fits.
You know, it's funny, when the trade happened, within about 24 hours, I heard the Cavs general manager, Kobe Altman, the coach, Kenny Atkinson, and Chris Fedor, my colleague at Cleveland.com, who's about as plugged in as anybody, referenced the same Hawks-Spurs game where DeAndre Hunter guarded Victor Wembanyama right before the trade deadline. And I was like, boy, I hope, kind of jokingly, boy, I hope that's not the only game they watched, right? It's like DeAndre Hunter's reputation, his pre-draft profile was a lot of, you know, he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year in college. He's 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan. With quick feet, profiles physically as a pretty good defender. You're right to say it wasn't always there in Atlanta. That being said, I think you also made an astute point by pointing out that defensive culture can play a role in that, and I would not call the Trae Young-led Atlanta Hawks the healthiest team when it comes to defensive culture in the NBA, whereas the Cavs, while we've seen a little bit of slippage at points this year on defense, I mean, you got Evan Mobley and Jared Allen spearheading a top five-ish defense in the league for three straight years now. So I think you put a guy with DeAndre's physical tools with two big men like that protecting the rim, at least one on the court at all times, right? And also putting that championship carrot in front of everybody, like if you're not locked in on defense there, then you know, why are you playing the sport? I don't think it's going to be much of an issue, because DeAndre's surroundings have changed so drastically, and the Cavs are so rock solid defensively that he can only add to what they're already doing there.
Jimmy, great to have you with us. I can't wait for the Trey Lance to the Browns column. So I'll be paying attention to Cleveland.com as I always do, looking for that one from you. Thanks.
That might just be a letter to you. That might just be a letter to you, Jeff. But I'll write it anyways.
Just an email. Yeah. Just post it on, yeah, like,
it's going to be great.
Put it on Instagram or Twitter or something like that.
Either that or just, you know, I'll give you my number. Just text it to me. It'll be great. Great to have you with us. And Jimmy, I enjoy your work. You do a really nice job for Cleveland.com.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy
Appreciate
Watkins
it,
joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Enjoyed having Jimmy Watkins with us, columnist for Cleveland.com. One of the reasons why, because he wasn't completely appalled when I threw out the name Trey Lance.
Oh, God.
Yeah, baby.
There are dozens of us. Dozens.
Come on.
Dozens. Dozens who look at him at the bottom of that dumpster and think, you know, there might be something in that pizza box.
There's got to be something there
might
still.
Might be a couple slices
gotta
still.
Got to be something. At least crust.
Oh. I can't believe someone threw out this pizza. Maybe there's something here.
It's got to be good. It's got to be good.
If you get rid of all those fish on the top that smell horrible, there might be one on the bottom still a little cold.
Jimmy had a terrific column about Myles Garrett and the trade request. And if you're looking for something fun to read, it was entertaining and it was right on the money, I thought. I'll go back and read that in Cleveland.com. I think the subject is fascinating on Myles. I really do. And Jimmy taking it to the, okay, he's represented by a guy whose background is in the NBA for the most part, in Rich Paul from Clutch Sports, and he talked to LeBron about it and everything else, which is all well and good. I don't have a problem with him talking to LeBron, and I don't have a problem with LeBron giving him advice. What I do have a problem with is Miles thinking that because he put in a trade request, he's going to get traded. And as Jimmy wrote, this is not the NBA. Those things don't happen. And I expect him to be on this team next year. Now, one thing I do think, I wouldn't be the least bit opposed to trading Myles Garrett if you didn't have all of the punitive things that were going to come along with it with the salary cap. If I was Andrew Berry, my preference would be to keep Myles Garrett, and that's my preference as well.
Of course, you want good players. Good players equal wins. Typically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, man, I'd put out a for sale sign, and I'd see what kind of offers I could get if I didn't think it was going to kill me financially.
Right.
And me personally, I'd love to see what they could get. You know, I threw out a trade thought with New England, and then I saw New England mentioned in trade as a possible destination. They want to send the fourth pick overall and their second round pick and Joe Milton to the Browns for Myles Garrett. I'd do it right now. I would do that right now.
Starts at 2-1s.
Not necessarily. What would you rather have? Would you rather have 2-1s in the 20s, or would you rather have the fourth overall pick in the draft and then the like second or third pick in the second round?
2-1s. And the reason the reason that I want the 2-1s is because I want quarterbacks in next year's draft, because I think there's more talent there. And I 100% know, for some reason that will forever make my brain sad, is the fact that when these picks become actual tangible assets, they lose value.
You can't guarantee you're going to get who you want next year.
If I got all the ammo, I can. If I can sit there and you're going to tell me that I've got two first round picks, right? And I'm not going to lie. You can call it screaming, yell at me, and all
that
stuff.
Are you saying the Browns would need the tank to make that happen?
I don't believe the Browns are going to be one of the... They may have a shot at the playoffs next year. I think they'd have a shot to make it with what they are. But until I see what happens in free agency, I'm operating under the idea that my pick is going to be top 20.
Top 15.
15, 20. That's how I'm operating my brain. If you want to call and yell at me, you're more than welcome to.
That's not going to get you the quarterback you want.
But if I could take that and I could pair it with another first-round pick from, let's say... I'll say Dallas. If I could pair it with that and take my one from the year after, I think I can move up high enough to get the guy that I want. And that's how I'm operating in my brain. And maybe that's all ends up being incorrect. Maybe your idea is right. Maybe you get 2 and 5. But if I had 2 and 5, I'm trading down from 2. And I'm looking at that and going, okay, I can pick up a pick from next year for someone else who's more desperate for a quarterback than I am. Not to mention, I'm looking at these quarterbacks and I'm willing to plot my future of being a GM on the line and saying, I don't think that the quarterbacks in this draft are going to win games now. So then that way, whoever I'm getting that pick from is probably going to have a high pick. And if I got two decently high picks, I got a shot to make my way up there.
Yeah, a bird in the hand.
Yes, because I know that these magic beans mean more to these people than tangible assets.
Which is really strange.
So I got to play the game.
But if you could get New England's first round pick. So this is just why I'd be willing to entertain a Myles Garrett trade.
Right.
If it weren't going to kill me financially and kill my ability to field the rest of the team. And maybe they can figure out a way that they can do that. I doubt it. And my guess is Myles is here next year and he gets a new contract. That's what I would assume. And ultimately, that's what I like.
The longer this goes, the more I believe you are correct. The only way that I would say that you are not correct is if somewhere before the start of next season, we get some kind of clarification on the Deshaun Watson injury settlement.
No, that's true.
A possible. Yeah. Thank you for the correction.
You're welcome.
Because that's what I meant through the whole thing. If there is any kind of possible insurance or cap relief that comes with that, I think that opens up the door
change things,
for a Myles Garrett trade. Because right now, taking on a boatload of dead, you know, that contract, the Deshaun Watson contract, plus the dead cap hit you're going to get from this, it's a mess to put a team together. You're basically then saying, we have to keep Denzel Ward, we have to keep Wyatt Teller, and we're going to have to keep Jack Conklin, and we're going to have to look at all this and think to ourselves, we have no room to do anything to make this team better outside of hopefully develop the guys that are here further.
Let's just say you could trade Myles, and this goes against your thought. What if you ended up with Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and then you signed veteran quarterback in free agency and kept your fingers crossed for the following year?
I'm in.
Yeah, so you could get two really good, young, talented position players, and move forward.
I just look at the quarterbacks in this draft, and I know we're going to go through this a boatload, but I look at the quarterbacks of this draft, and I think these guys need time. And I don't know if this organization in this situation is the place to draft a quarterback who needs time.
Well, I think actually they will. And I say that for this reason. They need to win games this year. Stefanski and Barry.
Right.
What's going to give them a better chance to win games this year and save their gigs? Playing Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or playing Kirk Cousins or Carson Wentz or somebody else? I would think it's a veteran quarterback who can come in and win some games for you.
On February 17th? Yeah, that sounds perfectly fine. You know, you've been here long enough. You've covered these teams long enough. You know how this direction goes.
I appreciate you.
Well, I know.
Giving my resume accreditation. Thanks.
I've been here long enough. I've covered these teams long enough. Mackenzie has been here long enough. She has covered these teams long enough to know how this is going to go when we hit November. And if they're 4-8 and we're in this mess once again, and you have everybody screaming from the background going, play the rookie. We've seen enough. Well, this guy sucks. You know, and all that stuff down from there. And all of a sudden, that plan that you laid out oh so well goes right into the gutter.
There's one
right
key,
into the dumpster next to Trey Lance.
There's one key piece of the... Oh, Trey Lance? One key piece of this missing, and it's whatever marching orders ownership has given Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. We don't know what that is. And, of course, those could change. You know, halfway through the season, yeah, you know what? We told you to develop. Yeah, we're not happy. You're going to be gone. And that's ownership's right. That happens all the time, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time. Something very cool on television last night. And it wasn't the NBA All-Star Game, and it wasn't the Daytona 500, but it captivated my eyes for a good portion of the night, and I'll bet most of America's as well. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, new little shtick. To get us to the start of baseball season.
Yeah, baby.
New little shtick.
Players reported. Everybody's there.
Oh. And it's warm.
And it's warm. The sun's up. Oh, dude, I'm so excited.
It involves decisions ahead for the Guardians. How about that?
So excited.
And we're just here to help. That we'll just leave it at that. That's called a tease right there.
Angels are talking Mike Trout's going to play right field this year. I'm so in.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, try to keep it healthy.
That's beautiful.
I hope he is.
I was thinking maybe you could play softball.
Wow, that's hurtful.
It was.
Mike Trout's awesome.
He is awesome. I just want him healthy. I know. Let's make him a DH.
They're getting there.
Anyhow, it was bad last night. It was bad. I wanted to watch Daytona during the day. First of all, and it was the perfect day to watch because we have a blizzard outside.
Right.
It was nonstop snow. I followed the weather forecast and it said it's going to stop snowing at my house at about 2 and was not expected to snow the rest of the day. I went out and I took care of the driveway at 2, went back in the house, it started snowing, and it didn't stop until about 6 this morning. Thank you very much, meteorologist. Appreciate that very much. Really worked. But that happened. I was going to watch the Daytona 500, which was supposed to start sometime around 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2:30, whenever it was, I was going to watch, right? I liked the Daytona while I was doing some work around the house. No, it got a rain delay, so it started at about 6, 6:30. And then the Saturday Night Live 50-year show, SNL 50, started at 8 o'clock with one of the worst pre-games I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't even stomach to watch even a couple of seconds of it.
The minute that they said, we're doing a red carpet, I was like, that's great. Good for you.
I flipped in just to see what it was all about. I was like, oh my God.
I will watch something else.
I'm going back to the race, or I'm going to NBA pregame, whatever it was. And then you had the NBA All-Star Game. So on at the same time last night, SNL 50, the NBA All-Star Game, and the Daytona 500. So I was back and forth between all of them. The SNL 50 show, I saw a lot of it. I didn't see all of it. I'm gonna go back and watch it. It was really well done. I thought they did a pretty nice job all the way around. And there were some big-time people sitting there, and big-time people that you never saw on stage. And I missed some of it, so like you had to tell me Bill Murray was actually on it last night. I saw him, but I didn't see. I missed the part. I was watching one of the many wipeouts on the Daytona 500, I'm sure, at that point. Either that or watching prospective wipeouts at the NBA All-Star Game.
Wow. Good golly.
Thanks. Thank you very much. I thought the SNL 50 show was really, It was really well done. And I saw a good chunk of it.
I thought it was great. I watched every second of it because I grew up with Saturday Night Live, as a lot of people did. I still, to this day, watch the show. It still makes me laugh. It's still... Are there clunkers in between? Yes. Do some skits get too political? Yes. Like, we know all of these different things. But if you turn it on and you still get the laughs that you're looking for out of it, then mm-hmm. it's worth it. And I thought they did a great job merging as many eras as they could into this 3.5-hour show. I thought it was great how they opened it, because I was really interested how they were going to open this, because I didn't know if they were going to try to play favorites. Because no matter what, if you opened it with a skit, you were going to play some kind of favorites, you know, of we have members of this cast and this cast, but not this cast. And so I wonder,
it would have been difficult to shine a spotlight on absolutely everybody who deserved a spotlight.
Right. So I kind of wondered if it would be either A, they would open with music, which is what they did, or B, if they would open with like the original cast doing something, you know, of everybody who is left.
And I saw Garrett Morris.
Yes.
And I saw Garrett introduce, and as soon as he started to talk, I said, I know what film they're going to do. They're going to do the Belushi in the Cemetery film.
Yeah.
And they did, which was, that was like, you know, hold on to your heart there.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough.
That one was always tough to watch.
Lorraine Newman was there. Chevy mm-hmm. Chase was there. Jane Curtin was there, and Garrett Morris. Did any of the four of them, other than Garrett Morris, do anything in the show? I didn't see them do anything.
Lorraine Newman did a pre-recorded sketch with Pete Davidson. That was pretty entertaining. It was basically her going, you know, back into the stage one more time and taking it all in. And Pete Davidson was a crew guy working behind the scenes and disrupting her the entire time as she was trying to have this heartfelt moment, and was completely vacuous through the whole thing. It was very good.
Nice.
It was very good. I thought they did a great job. I know people were yelling because Bill Hader wasn't there. Bill Hader wasn't there because he had a previous engagement. Had made that known earlier in the week. I guess it didn't make a way through, but a lot of people were saying that was a problem.
One of my favorite guys ever was Dan Aykroyd. He wasn't there.
He wasn't there. They didn't do anything with Aykroyd. I was bummed on that one.
They didn't do anything with the Blues Brothers, did they?
No, they did for the concert before. They had Jimmy Fallon do the Blues Brothers, and that was fine. It was they opened the concert two nights before, and he did Soul Man, and it was fine. It got the job done,
all right.
You know. But it was
they did show Aykroyd in throughout the show. You know, there were several things that he did that were very good.
Yeah, I thought we would get something with the original
Julia Child. Yeah, I did too.
You know, and they showed the bass
a little bit more. Yeah, that's good bass.
That's good. They showed that stuff in there as well, and I thought we were going to get that. Like, they did Weekend Update, and they did a couple characters, but they mostly had Colin Jost and Michael Che there, and I thought they were going to do... I thought it would have been cool if they would have thrown to everybody who did Update to do a joke, you know, and then throw over to this Update desk to do a joke, and then throw up to this Update desk, and, you know, there's Chevy Chase sitting there doing, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. And
yeah.
Crack a joke there, and then throw over to Dennis Miller, and then throw over to Colin Quinn, and, you know, everybody who did it in between, and maybe stick an OJ joke in there for Norm's sake.
On Saturday night, did you happen to see the first ever Saturday Night Live that they re-aired at 11:30?
I had watched it before. I had not watched it when it happened on
It was interesting.
Saturday night.
George Carlin was the host of it, and there was... like no
football and baseball.
Right. It was his opening thing. I was surprised at that. And there seemed to be very little interaction between Carlin and like the not ready for primetime players. And did you hear Don Pardo in the opening announcements? And I thought, I just heard that, didn't I? And I went back and I quickly Googled it to make sure I heard what I thought I heard. He said, and now the not for primetime players, not for ready primetime players, is what he said.
Really?
Yeah. He
goofed the line.
He goofed the line.
Oh my goodness!
The not for
Did
ready
not
primetime players.
I didn't never real. I gotta go and, back and watch that. Now.
Yeah, it was funny. And while I looked that up for Pardo, he was still the announcer when he was in his mid-90s.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, now it's Daryl Hammond, I think, doing a Pardo impression. I think that's what he's doing. It was very good. Eddie Murphy was really good.
I got to go back and watch the Jeopardy segment.
You got to see the Jeopardy segment.
I heard that was great.
of Eddie doing Tracy Morgan to Tracy Morgan. It was hysterical. It was really, really funny. I thought they did a really good job. I was really impressed.
You're not going to make everybody happy in a situation right. like that. I thought they did a really nice job.
I did too. Sandler was really good.
In there. That was good.
Yeah, that shocked me that he came out there. Because he, if you ever read James Miller's book, he burnt a lot of bridges on the way out of that place. And so it was kind of shocking to see him show up. And so it was cool. It was good to see Coffee Talk. It was, you know, it made me smile to see Linda Richards sitting there getting verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves. I mean, all of that stuff is just so into the pot, just into the popular culture, just into the thought processes. So much of Saturday Night Live, and it was cool seeing all of them together.
Think about the, comedy in our country wouldn't be the same without that show. Look at the huge people who have come off that show and are now just, you know, the basis of comedy in our country.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Tracy Morgan. When I did when I was at Madison Square Garden, I did a sideline interview with him during a Cavs game.
Hang on.
Ding.
There it is.
No, this is all about him. and he was like 12 rows deep and 12 seats in. So it wasn't easy to get to. And he couldn't have been cooler. And I went up to him and I introduced myself and said, "Hey, Tracy, I'd love to come over and talk to you during the game." And he said, "That'd be great. Be happy to do it." Well, I had to kind of get to him. And, you know, I know people in New York get a bad rep. It's undeserved. I've always enjoyed working there. I had to move people out of the way. They were happy to get up and move. So
really?
I was behind Tracy Morgan. And this was at the height of the Jeremy Lin time for the Knicks.
Lin Sanity.
And talked to him about it, a couple of, you know, a question or two. And I hit him up and I said, "So, you know, Tracy, this Lin Sanity is going absolutely nuts right now. You know, what do you like most about Lin Sanity?" And he said, "It shouldn't be about Lin Sanity. It should be about Trace Sanity." And I'm like, "So Trace Sanity, what are the best attributes of Trace Sanity?" I don't remember. But I played along with him completely and just kept teeing him up. And he just kept hitting it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. And we got all done. And I said, "Hey, thank you very much for doing that." He goes, "That was awesome. Thanks. I'm happy to do it. That was great." So I was very impressed. He was really good.
That's really funny.
That was funny.
That's really good. He was good in there. It was, you know, you were wondering if it was going to be more, you know, game shows and all that kind of stuff to get more and more characters in there. Right, and I thought they did a really good job kind of mixing everything in of, you know, the old game shows and the characters that you wanted to see and newer stuff as well. They did a whole New York back in the 70s to New York
Today
thing.
I saw that one, yeah. That was funny.
That was really good with all the musical numbers in between there. And
the Jason Sudeikis as the cop.
That was...
Or as the deputy sheriff.
It was so out of control.
And he brings in Eddie Murphy and Tina Thompson. And then here comes Will Ferrell.
Here comes Will Ferrell.
Oh, my God.
Being perfect Will Ferrell. Just completely out of control.
It was perfect Will Ferrell.
They did such, as in, I give them a ton of credit because sticking that landing was going to be tough. And they did it. They stuck the landing. It was a great show. It was wildly entertaining. Were there some clunkers in between?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
It's Saturday Night Live.
But you know what?
There always was.
I was going to say, a good friend of mine described Saturday Night Live this way. We were talking about it this weekend. And he said, you know, the thing about Saturday Night Live, about 70% of the stuff doesn't hit real well.
Right.
But 30% of it's awesome.
Right.
And that's really kind of the way the show's always been.
I'll always point to the Eddie Murphy episode when he came back. I think that was like 3 years ago or something like that, when Eddie Murphy came back to the show for the first time. And everybody went, "That was the best Saturday Night Live episode in forever." Well, of course we all thought it was the best Saturday Night Live episode of forever. It was Eddie Murphy's character that we loved him doing. And then the sketch, which was hysterical. So they really had their one sketch that was original, and he did everything else that we loved, including Gumby in the Weekend Update, which was awesome. And so, of course, when you have these established characters, you're going to love it. When you're trying to establish them, that's when it gets tough.
I thought it was interesting, too, that Eddie had a pretty big role last night, even though he has gone on record. And if you know anything about the history of the show, and I don't know a ton, but I know enough, he was on the show when Lorne Michaels was out.
Yep.
and it was Dick Ebersol, I believe, was the executive producer.
Oh, he saved that show.
And Eddie saved that show, basically.
He Episcopo, basically.
And then Lorne came back, and Eddie had taken off by then, I believe, to go be a movie star, which, you know, he's phenomenal. But he always said that he never felt like he was embraced by Saturday Night Live because he was in it during the stretch where Lorne Michaels was out. Interesting.
Yeah, it was great. It's worth a watch if you missed it, and go back.
Yeah,
find
go
it.
Back
it's
and watch it. It was really. I mean, it's
the right amount of laughs and nostalgia.
It's the story of the history of comedy over the last 50 years in our country. Really, is what it is. And hard to believe a show like that is still going after 50 years. How does that happen? That's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's
it's
really
amazing.
Pretty cool. I hope it has a lot longer shelf life.
Tribute to Lorne Michaels and all the talent that walked through that door.
And NBC for allowing it to keep going, because there were some pretty lean years here and there. But it was really well done last night, and certainly it's an iconic part of entertainment in our country. The next shtick we're going to start will not be. But we're going to do it anyway. We're here to help the Guardians a little bit. You'll have to you'll understand when we get going. It's coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.